Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, friends. Welcome to this week's episode of Stacking the Box. Myself, Ian McMillan, Sterling Holmes with me once again. The combine is done. So I guess the next thing that is happening on the NFL's schedule is free agency starts next week, which is what we're going to talk about for the majority of today's show. And we are, what, a little over a month away from the draft. Sterling, how are you doing?
I'm good, dude. I did my own combine this morning. That's yoga with weights. My ass got kicked. You grew up playing a lot of sports. You're used to doing football workouts, basketball workouts, baseball workouts. And you're like, yeah, that's tough. You do yoga with weights and you're getting your ass kicked by some 60-year-old lady who you're like, no way she can handle these weights. And she's just pumping them out as you're just sweating so much, dying. The room's 97 degrees. You're sweating so much. You're like, this is miserable. Am I going to make it? And they have a smile on your face. You do yoga with weights. I'm telling you right now, if we all did yoga with weights in the NFL or any sport, there'd be far less injuries. I'm going to die on that hill.
There you go. Coming in hot, defending yoga. Never done it.
Big yoga guy.
If you did do an actual combine and you ran the 40, what do you think you'd run the 40 in?
Oh, at this point in my life?
Yeah.
What do you think? 5'1"? Does that seem realistic? 5'1"?
I don't know. Are you fast?
I mean, I used to be decently fast. I'm in shape. I don't run a lot, so luckily it's only a 40 yards and not getting to the 100. I think that would be a real big slowdown there. I feel like a 5'1 seems realistic. I'm not going to lie and say, oh yeah, 4'8". That seems like a bold-faced lie.
I ran a 4'8 my senior year of high school. Now I think I would be lucky to break 5'2". Yeah, I have no desire to run a 40-yard dash. I'm a long-distance guy now.
You want to do it together, like a stack in the box combine? I mean, you probably got me on bench.
No. Haven't lifted many weights in the past decade. Once again, senior year high school, probably now. No. I think I'd hurt myself if I did any of those types of events. So
three cone drill.
I bet you I'd still be pretty good at three cone drill. That was my specialty.
Vertical. Right. I think I got. I will say just vertical. I think I'm feeling pretty. I can still grab rim. At 5'10". So I feel like my vertical is still pretty salty.
Yeah, you would probably definitely have me on vertical. If I actually full on sprinted or did anything like that, my legs would just explode, I think. So I don't have any desire to do that. Getting too old. So yeah, top story is we're going to go through a little bit of a QB carousel here and do a little check-in on some of the top quarterbacks in the NFL and what's going on with them and where some of them are going to end up. Most notably, I think the top story from this past week since we last did a show is that Russell Wilson has been released from the Broncos. I think this is something that a lot of people expected was going to happen at some point, but I think it does beg the question, was this, you know, a top five worst trade of all time in the National Football League? If people don't remember, that trade was the Seahawks traded to the Broncos Russell Wilson in a 2022 fourth round draft pick. In return, they got a 2022 first, a 2022 second, a 2022 fifth, a 2023 first, a 2023 second, and three players, Noah Fant, Shelby Harris, a D lineman, and quarterback Drew Lock. And then Russell Wilson had two average to below average years and was released and gave up a ton of dead cap room now for the Broncos. Tough.
All that to go 11-19.
There you go. Not good. And when he signed, because there was that conversation, because the in his last year in Seattle, actually maybe like the last 2 years, things weren't going great for the Seahawks. And a lot of people thought that fell on Pete Carroll more than Russell Wilson. And I think the 2 years since that trade, that question has been answered. And it's been more on Russell Wilson, because Pete Carroll has had success in Seattle, even though he's now no longer their head coach. But the last couple of years, I mean, the playoffs, they made the playoffs 2 years ago, almost made the playoffs this past season. And Russell Wilson, a lot of people were saying the Broncos were Super Bowl contenders with Russell Wilson. That obviously was not the case. Not even close to sniffing the playoffs in either of his 2 years there.
If I'm being honest, I don't have a major issue with the trade itself. I think we're looking back at it with the knowledge of what we know now.
Yeah,
the trade itself, I don't think was horrendous. Maybe it was a slight overpay, not going to disagree, but I think at the time, the trade made sense. It was the extension that was so egregious. You paid all that money for a guy who's never played right. a single snap for your franchise. That, to me, is the egregious factor. The trade itself, yes, we look back and we know what we know. But even not knowing at the time, it was the extension. That was what really was the, in my opinion, there's no excuse for that.
You would think an NFL organization that has all the money and the resources that they have would be able to evaluate a fellow NFL player to determine that they shouldn't trade a million draft picks for him and then sign him to a massive deal before he ever plays a snap for your team. Like, you would think that a scouting department would be good enough that they can watch film on Russell Wilson and be like, yeah, this guy's got holes in his game. He's not worth a massive contract. But apparently that wasn't the case, at least for Denver, because they paid.
Per Front Office Sports, by releasing Russell Wilson, the Broncos will take on an NFL record $85 million in dead cap. $85 million in dead cap. It's the largest dead cap hit in league history, no surprise, but it's bigger than the previous two records combined.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's tough. And the Broncos will be reeling from that for a little bit.
Who's their quarterback? Jarrett Stidham? Is that who they're rolling with now, I guess?
It's a great question. I don't know. Maybe one of these quarterbacks who are on the market will end up in Denver, but I haven't heard any names of any players quarterback that are tied to the Broncos right now. All right. So we'll keep an eye with what's going on with Russell Wilson and what's going on with the Broncos. Speaking of Russell Wilson, him, just like every other quarterback that might end up on a new team this year, if you look at the betting odds for it, the Falcons are the favorite to land basically every single quarterback. So if that's any indication, Falcons are going to have 12 quarterbacks on the roster next year, because Russell Wilson reports tied him to Atlanta. Justin Fields obviously was like a minus 400 favorite to go to Atlanta. That has now come back down to about plus 120. I even read somewhere Baker Mayfield is going to end up in Atlanta. Every single potential quarterback that might be on a different team, all tied to Atlanta. But we know who's going to sign with Atlanta. It is who I reported about a month or so ago when I talked to this player, Kirk Cousins, because I made my case and I think I sold him. And now recently there has been a report that has come out. If I can find it here, but Pro Football Talk is getting very credible indications that Kirk Cousins.
No, sorry. It's PFT, dude.
What do you mean? Yeah, PFT stands for Pro Football Talk.
Yeah, I know.
You're saying that they're not credible?
The same dude that says every single year perpetually that Andy Reid's going to retire based on a source, that source has perpetually been wrong.
Not
going to front, man. Yeah, I'm not saying he's wrong on this one, but if it's the only dude talking about it, I'm going to give you a little bit of a pushback.
He can't be wrong about 100% of his takes. He's got to be right about some things.
But let's be real now. Let's be real now. If you said, you know, like Lewis Riddick, I'd be like, oh, yeah, okay, sure, I'm all in. You tell me PFT, I'm going to say, sources say, I don't buy it.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let me just finish the quote. Here's the quote. We can't get into specifics for now, but we're getting very credible indications that Cousins is seriously considering moving his family to Atlanta, which would mean obviously that he'd be signing with the Falcons. I'll give you another report indicated by FanSided's Ian McMillan that he spoke to Kirk Cousins personally and sold him on signing with the Falcons, being that Atlanta is the city where his wife is from. It's a city he got married in. So how about that? We'll throw the PFT report out the window. Per Ian McMillan from FanSided, Kirk Cousins will be signing with the Falcons.
Yeah. By the way, I will. I think Ian's very credible. Like Ian McMillan, I believe him wholeheartedly. I actually saw that interview, and you could see it in Kirk's eyes. Like Kirk, Kirko was like, you know what, man, it's a good call, Ian. So yeah, I actually trust that Ian McMillan guy a lot, and I think you guys should follow him on Twitter at Ian McBets. I think that'd be a good call as well.
Yes, absolutely. Joshua says in the chat, Florio is agent propaganda. Andy's agents told Florio to say that to get a public. He could retire to get that raise. Yeah, probably true. But I'll also say everyone who every source guy in the NFL, they're all just agent propaganda. Adam Schefter is agent propaganda. Any of those guys, because that's who their sources are for the most part. So if they want to get breaking news to then get retweets on Twitter and to get clicks on their articles, then they have to have the connections with the agents and owners and stuff. And sometimes in order to get those connections, you got to do what they ask you to do. So yeah, Florio might be agent propaganda. So is everyone.
Yeah.
Because you have to be. There'd be no other way to get inside information other than to have connections with these agents.
I do want to say, since you brought up betting earlier.
Yep.
Make sure everyone who's listening signs up for DraftKings Sportsbook and make sure you get your first bet on them. Because if you've not signed up for DraftKings Sportsbook, new customers will get a second chance bet up to $1,000 when signing up with our promo code STB. That means if your first bet loses, you will get your full wager returned as a bonus bet up to, again, $1,000. Sign up with our code STB. Not only covers your first bet, but it'll also get you access to daily rewards and other profit boosts. So if you're looking to join DraftKings, go download the app and register with our promo code STB to make sure your first bet is covered. This offer is only available to new customers who are 21 plus and physically present in legal gambling states. Please remember to always gamble responsibly. Check the episode description for the full terms of the offer to see if you qualify.
Yeah, see, I did that strategically. Instead of getting it out of the way at the start, I wanted to reel some people in with some topics, with some hot topics first, and then hit them with the promo code. So there you go. Sign up for DraftKings. Code STB. Justin Fields, he was supposed to go to Atlanta. He was a massive favorite by the betting odds to go to Atlanta, which you can bet on a DraftKings Sportsbook, depending on the state that you're in. Now, not so much. Now it's come down to, I think it's like plus 120. It was like minus 450, which was like an 85% chance. I never once thought Justin Fields was going to go to Atlanta. I still don't think he's going to go to Atlanta. But now we don't really know where he's going to go, because also it's come out that the Steelers might just be giving Kenny Pickett another year. Arthur Smith seems to have had a meeting with him recently, and they might just move forward with Kenny Pickett one more year. And the Steelers and the Falcons were Justin Fields' top two destinations. I think Adam Schefter had a report that the market for Justin Fields wasn't as hot as the Bears were hoping for or expected. So now I don't really know where Justin Fields ends up. What do you think, Sterling? What are we doing with him?
Yeah, it's a good call because I'm actually with you. I do think Kirk Cousins to the Falcons is the most logical answer. Do I think Justin Fields helps the Falcons? Yes, I do. But I think Kirk Cousins right now is better, and I'm not sold on Fields being the quarterback of the future for any team. I think Fields can elevate some teams. Like, I actually do think the Falcons make some sense based on how their organization offense is currently run. But at the same time, do the Raiders make sense?
That's my prediction. Yeah.
I do think the fact that the Steelers are most likely sticking with Kenny Pickett for one more year does make a little sense. Like, it'd be pretty quick to give up on the guy. For a guy that you've at least seen some glimpses of.
Yeah.
Like, again, I'm not saying Kenny Pickett's going to be the dude, but you got to give these quarterbacks time to develop. Not everyone's going to all of a sudden show out and be CJ Stroud year one. Not everyone's going to be Mahomes year two. Like, a lot of guys take a while to develop. We get so used to the it has to happen now mentality that you give up on guys who might eventually find their stride in later situations. I'm not saying Kenny Pickett is going to be that guy, but I have seen some glimpses to make me believe that, okay, give him the right organization, the right team. There's still some talent left in that arm. There's not a lot, right? Because even the bad teams last year have at least the guy they're going to stick with. Like, the Panthers are sticking with Bryce Young.
Of course.
Maybe if the Buccaneers move on from Baker, would then Justin Fields be a Tampa Bay guy? I don't know.
Right, and most of the teams that need a quarterback have a top three pick, so they're going to draft, because it's a very quarterback, you know, heavy, quarterback-strong draft class as well.
I don't know where Fields goes. Like, it's
my guess is the Raiders. I think the Raiders now kind of make sense. Also, it seems like a move the Raiders would make.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Raiders do make sense. I mean, they're not going to go with Aiden O'Connell, I don't think. Seems like a bold choice. Like, he was fine, but Aiden O'Connell to me seems like a long-term perpetual backup in the NFL. I don't see the upside from Aiden. I think you're right here. I do think, and Matthew Post, does Fields go to Denver?
Possibly.
I don't know if they can afford it, even with him on the rookie deal, because he was such a high draft pick. That final year is going to be, what was it, $25 million, something like that, I think, is that final year of the contract for quarterback. I don't think Denver can even afford that right now. They might have to stick with Jarrett Stidham or some other cheaper option. I will say Denver has a top 15 draft pick, right? They're 12th, 13th, I believe.
They're 12 and the Raiders are 13.
So maybe they want to go with Michael Penix. You know, he'll obviously be available at that point. Maybe JJ McCarthy falls there, though we've heard that he's been going up draft boards. Not a good situation for Justin Fields to be in. Again, a guy who I think deserves another chance because the Bears were a bad organization. But at the same time, timing's everything.
Yeah, my prediction is the Raiders. I think they are going to go with quarterback. It seems like a Raiders-type move because I don't think it's a good move. I don't think Justin Fields is good enough to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. So it seems like another dumb move the Raiders are going to do. Another team that we didn't mention that could be destination for Justin Fields, and it's because they have a report came out, I think it is even just this morning or yesterday, the Giants are done with Daniel Jones. If I can find the quote here, Rich Eisen said it, that the Giants at the combine are absolutely done with Daniel Jones. The Giants might have to play him this year, but that ain't it, and they feel that ain't it. Doesn't sound like a Rich Eisen quote, but apparently it is. The words I heard of the combine multiple times, two words were buyer's remorse. So they might just have to roll with him anyways because they signed him to that contract, but also maybe they take a shot with Fields and then just, you know, a third of their total cap space is going to the quarterbacks.
Everyone knew that was an absurd, asinine contract to give Daniel Jones.
Yes.
But the Giants still did it. I get it. They're between a rock and a hard place. The thought process of, all right, well, what happens if we move on? What happens if all of a sudden you draft a quarterback and that quarterback is Josh Rosen, right? Like, I truthfully understand that. You're trying to keep your job, and so you're saying, if we go 500, maybe they won't fire me. If we just sneak into the playoffs at 9-8 as a GM, I'll keep my job. I get that. But what has Daniel Jones shown you outside of his legs? Like, he's just a running quarterback with a strong arm who is very inaccurate. He does not elevate. The Giants are not a great team, so I'm not going to just sit here and say that he wouldn't be better in a different organization, but I don't see the high-end upside. Like, him and Justin Fields are actually kind of similar style quarterbacks, right? It's kind of funny. Like if the Giants got Justin Fields, what are you doing? You're getting another Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
I don't know what the Giants are going to do. That's another tough situation. It just goes to show that's why you don't overpay for average. You don't do it. The Broncos did it with Russell Wilson. The Giants are doing it with Daniel Jones. I mean, again, because Russell Wilson was average last year. But you look at what the contract was, you're not paying that for average. You got to move on. Very intriguing.
Yes. And then we talk about some rookie quarterbacks here. Bears, it's looking like still going to go Caleb Williams number one. At least when you look at betting odds, it's a pretty overwhelming favorite. Caleb Williams is going to go first overall, and it looks like the Bears are going to be moving on from Justin Fields. Number two is where things start to get interesting. It's Washington Commanders picking number two, and it is looking like a two-player race. Once again, I'm just looking at betting odds because it kind of gives us at least a sense of a probability here. Drake May minus 135 to go number two overall. Jaden Daniels plus 125. And then a pretty big drop off. And then Caleb Williams, if for some reason he's not going first overall, he would go second. So Drake May right now, the UNC product, favored to go second overall to the Commanders. Looks like they are moving on from Sam Howell after he threw a league leading, I think, 21 interceptions last year. He looked decent at times, but overall not good enough for the Commanders to do another season with him as their quarterback. So going to be Drake May or Jaden Daniels. As of right now, it is Drake May who is a slight favorite to go first, about 55%.
Yeah. By the way, Sam Howell looks like the backup quarterback that when a team's starting quarterback struggles, you just throw in Sam Howell and all of a sudden you're like, it's like Jameis Winston, where you're like, yeah, we know the back-breaking interceptions are going to come, but if he comes in for the second half and throws three touchdowns and 200 yards, you're not surprised.
Yeah.
You don't want it for a full season.
Yeah, he wasn't terrible, but he is kind of now, he's going to be a great backup, but that's kind of what he's going to be looked at as.
It's like Jameis. It's Jameis Winston.
Right, which certainly could be worse if you're looking at it just from his perspective. Like, it wasn't a terrible season. It's not like he's going to be out of a job, but he needs some circumstances to go his way to ever get a shot at starting again.
Yeah. And by the way, we never brought up Gardner Minshew, who's probably going to still be the backup maybe in Indy, but does he get a chance? I don't think so, but I think that's at least an intriguing name. I would go with Daniels personally. Watched him play in person as LSU came back and beat my Missouri Tigers at home in Columbia. That was not a fun game to go to, but I mean, you see him, and maybe I'm biased because I've seen him in person. He's special. Like he seems like a game changer. Will at times he make some mistakes? Yeah, but I like the upside, even though he is older for a quarterback. I know that's going to probably be a knock against him. Drake May makes me nervous, dude. Like, I know you got to take the Trubisky thought process out. How I always say with like Ohio State quarterbacks, you can't judge them all on going to Ohio State. It's a little unfair. Same time, it is tough. Who they played? Like who has Drake May and UNC played? Duke?
ACC teams,
like Clemson? Clemson, who's been okay. It's not like Clemson's been this powerhouse recently. Like, that was, you got to go back. Florida State? Sure. I try to take that out, but it's hard to not value Big 12, SEC, Big 10 quarterbacks and value them a little higher.
I disagree.
Okay, I get it, because Josh Allen, for example, I knew watching him at Wyoming, he was special, but he really jumped off the tape. Does Drake May really jump off the tape at you?
Well, one of the greatest quarterbacks in NFL history played for an ACC school called Boston College.
Sure. I'm not saying it can happen, and Joe Flacco went to Delaware. Like right. I get it. I'm not saying it can't happen, but a lot of times those guys jump out at you. When I watch UNC and I watch Drake May, this is my personal opinion. It doesn't really jump out at me. Not saying he's not going to be a good quarterback. Not saying he can't be a great quarterback. But when I see Daniels, I'm like, oh, dude, that seems like a game-changing franchise quarterback. That's just my personal opinion.
No pushback with me calling Matt Ryan one of the greatest quarterbacks in NFL history. He was the Boston College quarterback that I was referring to. One of the greatest of all time.
Oh, is he? Is he one of the greatest of all time?
Some would say.
Is Philip Rivers then also one of the greatest of all time too?
Actually, I don't even know. Was Boston College in the ACC when he was in there? Or they was he? No, I think they were. Or were they still Big East?
Playing the UConn Huskies real.
No, they're ACC. They're ACC.
Villanova.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't watch college football enough to really have a take based on Drake May or Jaden Daniels, or even if Caleb Williams is the best of the three. Jaden Daniels won the Heisman this year. We got an LSU quarterback that came out of there recently that turned out okay.
Yeah. I mean, Mizzou was damn good this year.
Yeah.
And they put up 48. Again, some was it a pick six? I was at the game. It was a pick six or an interception late. But like, you got to give credit for the offensive numbers that he put up. Like, he was absolutely electric.
There are some rumors the Falcons are going to get aggressive in the draft and trade up to get one of those guys. I don't know how they would do that, because it looks like the three quarterbacks are just going to go 1, 2, 3, because the Bears, Commanders, and Patriots all need a quarterback. I don't know which one's going to be willing to part with their pick. But if the Falcons, in a weird dream scenario that would never happen, pick number one overall, I think I'd want them to take Jaden Daniels, to be honest.
No, you want Caleb Williams.
I don't think I do.
Who's fourth? Fourth of the Raiders, correct? Was it
fourth pick?
Yeah, no. Not the Raiders. It was who was the fourth pick?
The Cardinals are taking Marvin Harrison.
That's what it was, Cardinals.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a way. I was thinking JJ McCarthy. Then if you can get to five, maybe. I'm not a big JJ McCarthy guy. I'm trying to think of the Falcons. They're trying to get a quarterback.
Yeah, and we might be able to get JJ McCarthy at eight, unless the Giants go quarterback.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind. My dream scenario is the Falcons sign Kirk Cousins and then if Penix Jr. falls to the second round and the Falcons pick him and let him sit behind Kirk Cousins for a year or two. That's my dream scenario.
Yeah, Michael Penix Jr. did him no favors in the championship game. He looked really good against Texas, right. Looked phenomenal. And I was thinking oh, wow, that does look like a top 10 pick. And then you saw the the finals and you go, the NCAA championship, you go, man, I don't know about that. I don't know about that one.
Hopefully he drops him just enough so the Falcons get him with their first pick in the second round. I would, or maybe even if they have to trade back up into a late first round.
Yeah.
Jalen, the Falcons better have a damn good offensive line if they get Kirk Cousins, because he isn't moving in the pocket. They have a good offensive line.
Chris Lindstrom.
Yeah, they have a good real dude. Chris Lindstrom is arguably the best guard in the NFL.
He's their Joe Tooney.
They don't have the best offensive line, but I'd say they have a top 10 unit. I think their offensive line is a little bit better run blocking than pass blocking, but that's fine. I'm fine with that. Other news outside of quarterbacks here, Jason Kelce retires. That's kind of one of the big news topics from this past week. I know Jason Kelce retiring is big news, especially for Eagles fans, but it kind of became big news in the football world as a whole. Maybe it's just because it's been a slow news week. Do you think his podcast blowing up because of the Swifties has made Jason Kelce retiring into a bigger deal than it should be?
No.
Yeah. Well, how? Sure, when maybe, was the last time an offensive lineman retired and it was like massive news in the NFL?
No, but remember when he won the Super Bowl, he was almost the face of that Super Bowl winning team. Like, it's
which is why I'd say it's big for Philadelphia regardless. But in terms of like a national news story?
Sure, maybe. I do think the brother conversation with his brother constantly winning Super Bowls in Kansas City, and then he's already in the spotlight. And you're right, the podcast has done very well just in general. He's become more of this social icon, if you will, and not just Taylor Swift, just in general, more of a social icon.
Yeah, I shouldn't have worded it like that. You're right. More of just because he's such a big social icon.
I have never seen a dude cry so much about a retirement. I felt really bad for him. Mm. Like, you can see how much this pains him. It was a tough listen. The first 10 minutes was, you got 7 words out of it. I mean, he's going to be a Hall of Fame center, which is crazy to think about. That's very rare. A guy who was a walk-on running back at Cincinnati. A walk-on running back. 6th round draft pick. He's played then on 156 straight games to end his career, has not missed a game since 2014. And it's interesting because you always saw him banged up. Like, he was always banged up. And then you had the tush push. I mean, that dude is just a football player. Like, there's nothing else to say about, like, he is an old school football guy. Sad day for the NFL. Happy for him and his family. But you could tell the toll it took on him, just the decision to retire.
Yeah, I wish him well. That's obviously going to hurt the Eagles a little bit as well, him retiring. So the Eagles, who already imploded late last season, I wonder if the Eagles didn't implode and, you know, won a playoff game or two. I wonder if he would have retired. But regardless, we'll never know. He's done, it looks like. Mike Evans signs 2-year deal with the Bucs. You and I both kind of predicted this, that he would stay with Tampa Bay. There's rumors the Falcons were going to target him if he did hit free agency, but it didn't even have a chance. 2-year deal with the Bucs.
Huge. 52 mil. Was it 35 mil guaranteed off the top of my head, I believe?
Yeah.
Yeah, no team was matching that, I don't think. Chiefs weren't matching that. No chance Chiefs are getting close to that.
Yeah.
Good for him. I'm happy for Mike Evans. I'm happy for the Buccaneers because they have some money to work with. And this way you keep your franchise icon potentially retired in Tampa Bay. Like, again, it's not Emmitt Smith because you don't have the rings, but like, you don't have Emmitt Smith all of a sudden going to Arizona. Like, you don't have a guy who Tom Brady going to the Buccaneers, right? Like, I'm not saying Mike Evans is those guys or are those guys, but Mike Evans has been there from his entire start of his career. Like, he is a franchise icon there. You're going to look back, I think, and realize how great he was because he's not been on a whole bunch of great teams. He's won that one Super Bowl, right? But not a whole bunch of great teams. You're going to look back and be like, oh, damn. That's Mike Evans in in all these categories, the streaks and all this stuff. Like,
yep.
I'm happy for Mike Evans, the Buccaneers. I'm glad they were able to find a way to get it done.
Is this his last contract? I mean, he's just third. Well, he'll be 31 when the regular season starts, but, 2-year deal. I mean, he could still end up signing somewhere else. No.
Yeah. I mean, last big deal. I mean, there's been literally no signs of him falling off, which has been incredible. Now this is the age 31. 31 has typically been the age that you look at for wide receivers and say, that's about the cliff. You know, Julio Jones, was it AJ Green? DeAndre Hopkins, I think to an extent this year, you can probably say he was the guy and now he's a guy.
Right.
I'm drawing a blank on a lot more names, but 31 was kind of the age I looked at of like, yeah, I don't know about that. But Mike Evans, again, he's not moving teams. So maybe that helps him. All those other guys I listed pretty much had moved teams at that point. I wonder if that's the key.
Yeah. Jalen asks, are Falcons top contenders in the NFC South with the addition of Kirk Cousins, assuming Baker stays with Tampa Bay? I think if the Falcons get any competent quarterback whatsoever, I think we are top contenders. I mean, if you look at the betting odds right now, I know I refer to the betting odds a lot, but I think it does show the general consensus of people that place a lot of money on these types of markets. And right now the Falcons are favorites to win the NFC South. Not a huge favorite. They're plus 160. Bucks plus 240, Saints plus 260. Actually, Bucks and Saints flip-flopped after this Mike Evans news because I was just looking at it a couple days ago and Saints were second. I still think the Falcons are. Falcons have a very good defense. They were a top 10 defense in the NFL last year. They have all the offensive weapons in the world. Drake London, Kyle Pitts, Bijan Robinson. They have a good offensive line. They certainly need a pass rusher. You know, they certainly need a second receiver. It's not that they're a perfect team. But I think they have the highest ceiling, I think, of the NFC South teams. All they need is a competent quarterback. If that's Kirk Cousins, I think we'll see them become an even bigger favorite. So, I think the Falcons, in terms of like the highest ceiling team in the NFC South, it has to be the Falcons. Nothing about the Saints makes me excited. What are they going to do to really improve next season? The Buccaneers, if they get Baker Mayfield back, I think we're looking at a similar result. From them from last year. Like I think those teams can only improve so much. And then you have the Panthers who are not in a good spot right now. So if you're looking for an NFC South team to really take a step forward next year, I think it has to be the Falcons.
I would agree as much as it pains me to say.
Raheem Morris also second on the odds list to win coach of the year.
But also, that's the NFC South is two scoops of ass, dude. The Falcons will go 5-1 in the NFC South.
So I've already sold myself on the Falcons next year, even more so than I did from this past year.
Oh yeah, the bet of oh, by the way, I still have it. Oh, whoa, what's this here, Ian? Huh, that's interesting.
For some reason, I know the stats are this. What Jalen is following this up with? I know the stats are good, but I'm low on Kirk Cousins, who will be 36 years old the start of the season, coming off an Achilles injury. Call me crazy, but I'd rather have Justin Fields. I disagree on the Justin Fields. Yeah, I mean I mean quarterbacks have succeeded. How old was Tom Brady when he was 43 when he won a Super Bowl? No, obviously he's not Tom Brady, but hold on, Aaron Rodgers won back to back MVPs at older than 36 or maybe 37.
Aaron Rodgers at one point in time was known as the most talented quarterback who ever faced or who ever graced the earth. Come on.
I'm just saying it's not like it's the running back position where I'm getting excited about a 36-year-old and we know how every single 36-year-old has ever done at that age.
How about this? Phillip Rivers. Phillip Rivers went to the Colts and they went to the playoffs.
There you go. I'll take it. Matt Ryan's 38. Wow, only 2 years older than Kirk Cousins.
He's skinny, dude.
Who, Matt Ryan?
Yeah, someone Radio Row. That guy has some skinny legs, too. Like, you're like, how did he handle the hits? Tall dude, obviously. But
well, that's probably why the age kind of caught up with him there pretty quickly, because I think his body was starting to fail on him. And that's the reason why. Chiefs, they placed a franchise tag on Legarius Sneed. You called this last week. Your thoughts were that either that they were going to place a franchise tag on Legarius Sneed and then trade him. Do you still feel that way?
Yeah, I think so. That's the most likely scenario. Although it does seem the Chiefs are pretty open to having him play on the tag, which is a little surprising. I don't know if I would, because I would at least want to get something back. But I guess it all comes back to compensation. Jalen Ramsey brought back a third when he was not franchise tag, but he was with the Rams, obviously on that massive contract, and Miami picked him up, right? They traded a third for Jalen Ramsey. But that was also with the caveat that they eventually redid his contract in Miami. And Jalen Ramsey was still known at that time as the best corner in football. I do think that you're looking at a third is the minimum starting point, I think, for Legarius. He's a year younger than a year or two younger than Jalen Ramsey got traded for. But I don't know if you're getting a second guaranteed. Like, I want a second. You're for sure not getting a first. I'm sorry, you're not getting a first. If you get a second, I think you take it. If you get a third, depending on where that third is, I think you think long and hard about saying, all right, do we take the third or do we have him play out on the franchise tag? Like, that might be the decision you have to make. That's my concern, is I don't know how hefty the return is going to be for a 27-year-old corner, which, again, cornerback is very volatile, and a guy who had a knee injury. He played through it last year every single game, but he had a knee injury that popped up every single week.
So that's I have no thoughts on Legarius Sneed. Now that he has the franchise tag, I don't want the Falcons to trade for him anymore, so I no longer have thoughts about Legarius Sneed. Let's wrap up the show with the combine thoughts. I'm curious if you have any combine thoughts. It is now over. I have a take about the combine that I'll follow it up with, but I'm hoping you have something to say about the combine.
Yeah, it's fun. But you should not take it as the end-all, be-all. Xavier Worthy, congratulations. 4-2-1. That is badass. Dog was flying. But you train for that. When do you do that in an NFL game? Look at the list of top 15 fastest 40s. Tyreek Woolen might be about the dude you look at as, yeah, okay, he was effective. Like, look at the list of top – like, look. It's not – yeah, John Ross, the dude he beat. Yeah, noted stud. Like – I find it a little interesting because we get enamored with the athleticism, as we should. It's like superhuman what these guys are doing, but it doesn't always translate to football. A couple of guys that I thought actually did impress me, Ben Sinnott from K-State. Now, again, I just said combine stuff, take with a grain of salt, but he really did show off a lot more athleticism than we saw, or at least originally thought. He is a little taller, a little bigger than I think we thought he was. I thought of him more as a Kyle Juszczyk fullback type, but I think that's because he wore number 34. When you see a tight end wearing 34, you think fullback. Sorry, you should wear 88. You should wear a different number. That's on you. But he was, I think, the quickest three-cone drill. He's like 6, whatever it was, 250, and he had a 40-inch vertical. Okay, I'm intrigued. I'm starting to see him now climb up into the middle second round for tight end, which was a pretty good get for a weak tight end class. So good for Ben Sinnott. Darius Robinson, DN for Mizzou, ran a little slow. Can't tell if he's a D tackler for D end. I'm still pretty high on him. I still think he's a first rounder. He ranked 97th percentile, though, in his arm length. In his wingspan, I should say. Sorry, wingspan, which feels very Spagsy, very toolsy. I'm pretty high still on Darius Robinson. And the other K-State player, Cooper Beebe, guard, he's been going up draft boards. Dude is extremely athletic. Shorter arms, 31 and a half, very short arms, which is why he's going to be a guard, not a tackle. But he ranked very highly in almost every single athleticism category. So if you're looking for athletic guard, Cooper Beebe from K-State, probably even in the second round, potentially, is a guy to look at.
There you go. You had some combine takes.
Yeah, I had some local ones. You know,
I appreciate it because my take is that, and this might be blasphemy, I'm out on the combine. I know this is an NFL podcast. I should care about it just as much as I care about everything else related to the NFL. But I used to watch the televised broadcast of the combine every single day throughout the combine. I no longer do. I don't care anymore. I can't bring myself to care about potential NFL athletes doing drills before I even know what team that they're getting drafted to. I don't know what the purpose of me watching the combine is.
I think some of it is, which is silly. How tall are they actually? How much do they actually weigh? I do think, again, the 40-yard dash means nothing to me. It doesn't. Like, okay, if a guy is supposed to run a 4.4 and he runs a 5.5, okay, I'll have some questions. But barring that, I does not mean anything. Like the three cone drill, like some of the more like broad jump, maybe even the vertical to an extent, like your actual wingspan, like some of the measurables, I think actually matter at least a little bit. Like, again, if you thought, just for example, Cooper Beebe might have been a potential tackle, I'm not saying he would have been. Well, if you have 31 and a half arms, you're not playing tackle. That's just not going to happen.
Sure. Like,
that's too short. So some of those measurables, I think, matter. Again, Worthy coming in at 165. Yeah, he ran a 4.21, but then you also see 165. Is that going to turn some teams off? Like, NBA is different. Like, some dudes are 6'11. They say they're 6'11. They're actually 7 foot tall because they don't want to be known as a 7 footer. NFL is different. They always say they're 6'6. They might be 6'4. So I think the combine is good in this regard.
But why as a fan should I care? Like, that's all things that scouts should be looking at for sure. But why do I care what a guy's measurables are if I don't even know if he's going to be on the team I cheer for yet?
Well,
like, I should be looking at the measurables for a guy that, you know, there's a 1 in 32 chance my team will draft.
Sure. You don't have to care. I just think it's fun. Like, I think it's entertaining to see dudes who are incredibly athletic do incredibly athletic things. Sure. That's what it comes down to. I don't think the Chiefs are drafting all these. I don't think the Chiefs are drafting Caleb Williams, which, again, right, he's not partaking. Like, the Chiefs aren't drafting the backup quarterback for Tennessee. I'm drawing a blank on his name right now. Milton, who threw a 74-yard bomb. Like, he just waited. You normally, you take like a three-step drop or whatever, and you try and hit your guy on like a streak. He waited. Just held the ball down. I was like, okay, you keep going. It was like incredible. He's not going to probably even get drafted. But like, watching that was just wild to watch. It was so sure. like so that's what it comes down to. And I think Jalen put it in a really good perspective here. It's really a big doctor appointment for each player. So each team can know at the same time.
Yeah. And I get the purpose of it. I don't get the purpose of me watching it on my television for 4 days or however long it takes. Any important information I'll read on the internet. But
you know what it can be? Final thought, honestly, on that. Yep. And so that way, when you see a guy and you're like, you know what, I looked at this, I was right. Look at me. I was right. Look at right. me. Look at me. Well, I was right. Or it's look at me. Don't bring up the ones I was wrong on. Don't bring those up. Like, I think a lot of that's what it is. This right. is why I never have strong combine takes, because I'm not special. I don't think I'm a scout. Like, there are certain things I look at, but I don't want to put my name out there and be like, oh, look at me. Look what I got right. No, who cares?
That just makes me want to now get into the combine, because there's nothing I love more than being right. So,
oh, really?
Maybe I should get into it and try to get some hot tea. Yeah, I'm not right often. But when I am, I make it count. All right, that's our show. A little bit of a shorter one here today, with not too much going on in the NFL the past week or so. We're going to start diving into some draft stuff starting next week. Sterling, any final thoughts before we wrap things up?
It's golf season, baby.
It is golf season. At least watching golf. I'm not playing golf yet.
Oh, I played Sunday, 40-plus mile-an-hour winds. It was... sure was.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Follow me on Twitter at Ian MacBets. Follow Sterling at HomestretchKC. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Rate and review the podcast if you're listening to the audio version of it. Thank you all so much for watching and listening. We will talk. I was going to say good luck with your bets. Good luck with your bets, I guess, if you're going to bet on something that's not NFL. But regardless, we'll talk to you next week.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.